Take this opportunity to come before y'all and give you the Lord's lesson today on this beautiful Lord's Day. My name is Jim Love. I'm from the Bon Air Church of Christ. I'm friends, most of you probably know Brian and Jenny Garlock. I'm friends with Brian and Jenny, and that's how I got this opportunity to come here. Brian was unable to come and fill in for Bob, so he asked if I would be willing to do so, and I appreciate y'all giving that opportunity to come. I'm here today with my wife Rhonda and my daughter Ashton, and my parents are visiting from East Cambridge Church of Christ there in Ohio, and they're down visiting us for the holidays. Today, I will be giving you the lesson on the effects of poor leadership. I think often we reflect upon just as we studied this morning, we talk about the leadership of Abram, and we often talk about the patriarchs like Moses and stuff, that we see good examples of leadership, but often we don't really study to see what the effects of poor leadership does and can have an effect on us. So today I will be giving you a lesson on what gleaned from some things that I think that the effects of poor leadership have upon the local congregation. Today we'll define what leadership is. We'll define it from a worldly standpoint, and then we'll look to the scriptures to see how it's used within the scriptures. I'll give you some how effects of poor leadership happens in the world by giving some business examples, and then we'll look at some examples of how it affects the church, something that we need to be concerned with in our own congregation. Then we'll look at some biblical examples. We'll look at some Old Testament examples of poor leadership. And then we'll look to the New Testament to see some poor examples of leadership in the New Testament. And then we'll finish up by looking at what kind of leader should I be? What kind of leader should I be within my local church? So with that being said, let's dive into our lesson and let's look at what is leadership. The world defines it as the art of influencing others. I often capture this. I'm in the Air Force, and this is the Air Force definition of leadership. They call it the art of influencing others. That's definitely what leadership is. We, those that take a leadership role, obviously govern over them and try to influence them to do the things that they ought to. If you look to Webster's, Webster's would say that it's a person who guides a group is somebody who reflects or uses leadership. In the Bible, if we look to see how the Bible uses leadership, we can look to vines and we can see out of these passages like Revelations 7:17, where it says there, within that, if you turn over to your Bible, from the Lamb, who is the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away their tears from every eye. So here we see, will shepherd them and lead them, or to guide. So to lead the way is a way that it's used within the Bible. We also see, if we return over to Hebrews 13 and verse 7, we can see there that it's used in the context of to rule over. Where we see the Hebrew writer says, remember those who rule over you. You have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So that we see that leadership is used within the Bible from the context of to lead the way or to guide individuals or to rule over is how we can see leadership or the principles of leadership being used. Now that we know the definition of or the context of what we'll be talking about with leadership, let's look at some of the effects of it that it has on within the business world. Often within the world we see that poor leadership practices can cost money. We everybody probably knows this, and some experts say that as much as 7% of annual earnings can be equated to losses within the business world due to poor leadership practices. We can also see within the world where leadership causes people to leave. When we often leave people within the workforce, some experts say from 9 to 32% of voluntary people leaving the workplace is caused because of people who are suffering from lack of leadership or poor leadership practices within their workforce. We also see that it can cause poor performance. It's estimated that some within a lot of factories that 5 to 10% of productivity lag is caused from poor leadership within those factories. So looking at these business examples, we can see how leadership has a direct impact upon the livelihood of businesses or production within a factory. So how might that apply to the effect upon the church? Well, we can see when we follow, for example, poor leaders that are appointed over the church. We can refer to Matthew verse 15, 14, where we see Christ is talking about blind leaders. There in verse 14, chapter 15 of Matthew, it says, "Let them alone, they are blind leaders of the blind. And the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Luke expands a little bit more upon that in verse 39 through 41 of the book of Luke, where he says, "And he spoke the parable to them, call the blind, lead the blind. Will they not both fall into the ditch? The ditch is not above, the disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like a teacher. And why do you look to the speck in your own brother's eye? Do not perceive the plank in your own eye." So here we see Christ illustrating how blind leadership, or people who blindly lead those, can, when the blind leads the blind, that you can lead them astray. So that's an example of how poor leadership can affect. We can also see where not being a good example, we will not have, our lights won't be shining. We know from Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine so that men shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." So how are we going to let our light shine if we are not being effective leaders? If we're poor leaders, will our lights not shine poorly? Poor leadership can cause indifference. Why would we be concerned about indifference? Well, if we turn over to Galatians chapter 5, actually let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. It says there, "Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not the old leaven, nor the leaven of malice and wickedness, but the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." So indifference can be just like that of the yeast that leavens the bread. If we breed indifference within the church, just as we as poor leaders, it will spread throughout the entire church. So we need to be cognizant of the effects of indifference and how leadership can cause indifference within our church. We can also see that a half-committed leader equates to being a half-committed follower. For instance, unprepared men leading services. When we come in here, what kind of example are we setting for others within the church when we come in here and we're half-hearted to be prepared? Are we not setting forth a half-hearted effort? And if we are examples for those who are looking upon us for our leadership, then are they not going to replicate our half-hearted efforts? Also, what about irregular attendance? What about the examples that we are setting forth for those when we irregularly attend? Are we not setting forth an example for others to replicate that irregular attendance? I tend to believe that it can and does. What is the harm of being half-hearted? Well, if you turn over to Revelation 3, verse 16, it says, "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." So I think we can equate to being a half-committed, being hot nor cold, and being a lukewarm. I think we can see how Christ will deal with us in the end, being a half-committed leader within our church. Ultimately, what can poor leadership cause within the church? Ultimately, I would tell you that it could cause the loss of souls. Just as the blind leading the blind. If we half-heartedly lead our congregations, or if we half-heartedly lead our families, or we half-heartedly lead the individuals that we have an influence over within our lives, we will see that ultimately we will be leading them astray, and that will cause them to stray away from God's Word as well, and ultimately cause their salvation in the end as well. So those who are followers need to be cognizant to not be following those who are illustrating poor leaders or being poor examples to follow, as well as those who glean from themselves as being poor leaders need to realize that you can't have an effect upon your followers. So I would challenge you to get out there and to lead as a Christian should lead within the community and within the church. Now let's look at some examples within the Bible of how poor leadership back in the Bible has caused some situations. First of all, we can go over to 1 Samuel 15, verse 24, where we see Saul listened to the men and not God. If you turn with me there, it says, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and the words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.'" So what was it what Saul was told to do? He was told to go out there and conquer this king, and he was to destroy all the people. And what did he end up doing once they went over out there and was victorious? He brought back the king and all their possessions because he listened to the people. And ultimately, what it caused him, due to his poor leadership, because he did not stand up to the man and say, "No, we will follow the commandments of God," ultimately it caused him to fall from the grace of God and lose being king over Israel. If you remember the story there, Samuel came and told him that he would not be the king. We also see that when we studied the first chapters of Isaiah, chapters 1 through 3, that the men of Israel were weak-minded. We see that they were sinful. They suffered from greed and idolatry. If you turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, we see Isaiah says, "Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward." So we see here that these men were full of iniquity. And how did they get that way? Through poor leadership. The people who governed over them led them astray. If we turn on down to verse 23 of that same chapter, we can see here where Isaiah says, "Your princes are rebellious and the companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of widows come before the men. We can see that due to this poor leadership there within the Israel nation, we see that they become to love money more than they love the Lord, and then that they care for the tending of their widows. And we can also see that they take up company with thieves and people who steal and pilferage away. So this is the effect of poor leadership back within at the time of Isaiah. If you turn it next over to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, we can see there where Isaiah records, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and the women rule over them. O my people, these who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path." So here in chapter 3, we see that they have digressed to the point of their leadership, that these men of Israel have allowed women to rule over them at that point. And right there he says, "Those who lead you cause you to err." So there Isaiah is pointing out to them, due to the poor leadership that they was following, they were erring in the eyes of the Lord. And ultimately we know what happens to the nation of Israel. They come under captivity and under affliction due to the poor leadership and for the decisions that they made. So we can glean from these Old Testament examples to see how poor leadership can affect how it can cause us to digress from that of the Lord. If we turn over to the New Testament, we can see some examples over in the New Testament of poor leadership. We can reflect upon Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you read with me there, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own under your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last breath. So great a fear came upon all those who heard these things. So we see that here from the Acts of Ananias and Sapphira that their poor leadership example, their greed, and their wanting to to relish over the giving of all this possession, that they lied about what they gave and they actually kept back some of their proceeds. And we see that from this leadership example that it ultimately caused their life and caused fear and trembling of all those that were there and witnessed this. So we can look to this leadership example to reflect how greed can cause one to digress from how we should conduct ourselves. We can also look to the church mentioned in Acts chapter 6 as a poor leadership example. There in chapter 6, verses 1 and 3, it says, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out one amongst you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So we can see here, from this example of the church mentioned here at the beginning of chapter 6, that the Hebrews, that the complaint raised against these Hebrew men by the Hellenists, that they weren't ministering to these widows, and it caused such a turmoil that the apostles had to leave God's word from spreading the word and had to come and resolve this situation within that congregation. So here we can see that these Hebrews was a poor example of attending to the affairs of the church, and that it caused all this turmoil and up to this for all this to happen. We can also see from the example of the church of Corinth how poor leadership can affect us. If we turn over to First Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we see here where Paul recorded, "It is actually reported that there is a sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and not rather mourn that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you." So we see here that the leadership within the church of the Corinth, instead of being appalled by the actions of this man, were actually puffed up, rather proud of this. So is this a way for a church to lead? And we know that Paul here is chastising for such a thing, that that this thing couldn't even be mentioned among the Gentiles, let alone a church of God. So here we see where men have failed to step up to do the right thing, and had the Apostle Paul come in and to deal with this within that church. We can also reflect to Judas to see the effects of poor leadership, how once this might affect one. If you recall the story of Judas there in Matthew chapter 26, right beginning at verse 47, we'll see here where it says, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Then we go over to verse, so we see the leadership there that Judas caused to betray Christ, and his love for money caused him to give up Christ. So that is an example of poor leadership that one that Judas betrayed here. And then if we go over to Matthew 27, we see the effects of this poor leadership and how it turns out for Judas. There in chapter 27 of Matthew, verses 3 through 5, it says, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, What is it? What is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself. So ultimately, this leadership that Judas betrayed and his betrayal of Christ caused him to take his own life. He went back to try to make it right, get back the pieces of silver. The high priest just scoffed at him and said, "What is it to us?" and caused Judas to go out and hang himself. So here we see the effects of poor leadership and how it has the effects on just the single individual and in their lives as well. So after studying these examples within the New Testament and as well as the Old Testament, let's now look over to see what kind of leader should I be within my church. We see that if we look to the examples like Timothy and the men chosen at the Church of Acts, we must demonstrate faith. If you look there at those examples, Timothy was exhorted to exercise himself in godliness, 1 Timothy 4:7. He was warned not to become entangled in the affairs of this life to such a degree that he could not serve him who called him as a soldier. There in 2 Timothy 2:4. The men chosen in Acts 6 to take care of the daily ministration were men full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. Those were the men that were chosen to lead over those activities. So we can see here from this example of Timothy and the men chosen there in Acts, we can see that we must demonstrate faith in order to be an effective leader within the church. We must show moral purity as well. Timothy was to be an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, such as in Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He was instructed to flee youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. 2 Timothy 2:22. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, it says there, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, nor adulterers or adulteresses, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So we can see from these verses and this illustration here of Timothy that we must be of moral purity. And if we don't have this moral purity, that if we have idolatry, like love of money, or we're adulterous, or sodomites, or thieves, or we covet things within the world, that we're not going to be pure, and that we won't receive the kingdom of heaven. We can also see that from the study in Nehemiah, we can see that we must have God's cause in our hearts. Nehemiah's concern for the Lord's people demonstrates another quality of good leaders. When Nehemiah learned of the wall of Jerusalem were broken down, he sat down and wept. We can see that in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 34. His conscience was so saddened by the condition of his people that the king he served noticed it, and he asked, Why is thy conscience sad, seeing that thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." And we see that in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2. Nehemiah had the cause of God in his heart. So we see that the leadership here betrayed by Nehemiah, that the cause of God caused him to sit down and mourn for his fellow Jews there in Jerusalem when the walls came falling down. So we can see here that from this leadership example of Nehemiah that we must have God's cause in our heart in order to be an effective leader. We must know that our impact that we have on others. Teachers are warned, like over in James chapter 3, verse 1, where he says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." Teachers have an influence on others. Teachers are like leaders, not only by what they teach in class, but also that how they live. What does a teacher say to the children of a Sunday morning Bible class when he misses a night to say on a Wednesday night class when because they're too lazy to come to school or they want to attend a ball game? How do they affect those children or those people, those classes on Sunday morning? Slipping away time or is just you know, just another way that we can have an impact on others. So we can see here that teachers will be judged more harshly if they do not lead effectively within their churches. So, after these are some examples of leadership that we should show within our own local congregations in order for us to be more effective leaders within our congregation. So, in conclusion, today we've defined what leadership is. We've shown what the effects of leadership has, of poor leadership within the business world. We've also shown the effects of poor leadership within the church and how it can affect us and affect our local congregations. We studied some examples of poor leadership within the Bible. We looked at how Saul's leadership caused him to lose his position of being the king. We looked to the New Testament to see how the church mentioned in Acts chapter 6 caused the apostles to take away from the God's word and to come and to administer to that situation there. So we can see that how poor leadership has an effect within the Bible. Then we looked at some examples of how we should be leaders within our church, some principles that we should take on to be more effective leaders within our local congregation. I hope this lesson has been profitable for you. I know it's been very profitable to me. Anytime that I have an opportunity to sit down and study God's Word into depth, I always learn more from it. It's often said that teachers have to be more knowledgeable than their students because you never know what kind of questions you're going to be posed. So I appreciate the opportunity that you guys have given me to come here and to present this Word for you. If I've said anything in error, I would please pull me aside, point those errors that I had so that I may have a chance to come back and to correct that before you all, because the last thing I want to do is be walking around in error and be reflecting upon somebody and lead somebody astray. So please, if I've done anything that is contrary to God's Word, please point it out to me so that I can be correcting in all eyes. With this being said, the lesson is yours. I will give it to you at this time. If there's any of you here today that aren't children of God, this is a great opportunity as we stand and sing the song of invitation that's been selected. It's a good opportunity for you, if you've heard the gospel and you believe that Christ is the Son of God and you want to come forth and repent your sins and be baptized, you can be born in to Christ and become a faithful follower of Christ. If you're a member of the church and you've done something publicly that you need to confess, now is a good time to come forth and do that. Or you've done something like Simon the Sorcerer when he was when he tried to buy the gifts of the Spirit. He's done something so grievous that he asked for the prayers of those for him. You can come forward if you have something on your mind that you're concerned about and you want the prayers of the congregation. Now is the time as well for you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been chosen.